Thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church this morning. You're about to hear a message from Pastor James Strickland. If you'd like to join them, you can get directions on their website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. You work and you slave, and what thanks do you get? You've heard this saying, is it all in vain? In this week's message, Pastor James Strickland is going to talk about the worth of your work. Again, you can find them on their website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. Or watch live stream on Facebook, Sunday mornings at 10:45 and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Sharon Baptist Concord. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
Is God enough?
Yes, He is.
And then more. Yes. For whatever you need. Whatever's wrong in your life or mine, Jesus is the answer.
Right.
Amen. Kind of an unusual message maybe today. But it's very pertinent to our lives, each and every one of us. We'll bring a message about the worth of our work. Do you ever stop and consider your work? Is what you do making a difference? Is what you do worthwhile not only in time, but eternity? Solomon had something to write about and say something about that. If you'll turn with me in his writing to Ecclesiastes chapter number 6. I want to read verses 7 through 9 in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, and share some things that come to my heart from the words of God, the word of God's word through the heart and life of Solomon as he writes you about the worth of our work. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 7 through verse number 9. Solomon writes, and he says, all the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. For what hath the wise man more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is a sight of the eye than the wandering of the desire. This also is also vanity and vexation of spirit. I guess that you have already discovered that work is not the greatest adventure of life. You come to know that better through maybe many years of service and work. When you come to the point that you feel just burned out in your job or your career, and sometimes we get lazy, and we fail to do our best. And at times like this, we come to rationalize what Solomon wrote in his writing about all is vanity. All is vanity. Worthless. And we think sometimes, well, my boss is not my God. Why should I give him my best? He's not my Lord. Wait a minute. Not so fast. Solomon here is not critical of work. What if, by chance, everyone decided two or three days a week they'd call in sick and not show up for the job or the career or the office? Would you trust a surgeon to do surgery on you with that kind of attitude? I wouldn't. Would you trust a financial planner or a stockbroker who's managing your accounts if all he's interested in is his next ski trip to Colorado? I wouldn't trust somebody like that, would you? I like my job. I don't consider my job a job. My job's a calling of the Lord, and I like what I do. I know God's called me to it. I hope you like what you do. I hope you feel that maybe your job or your career is a calling of the Lord. It doesn't matter whether you're an executive somewhere or a janitor. It doesn't matter. Work is another, listen to me, another gracious gift of God. God gives us the gift of work. Work makes life much more compelling, doesn't it? Teaches us about ourselves. Work gives us pleasure in fruitfulness. When you see something done accomplished that you maybe had a part in that really is fruitful, it makes you feel good, doesn't it? If you approach your job or your career as the only reason you're on this earth, is to fulfill that position, then you're headed for a dead-end street. I'm going to tell you, you are. What is, in fact, the worth of our work in this world? All jobs and careers are just earthly. Joy, beloved, is heavenly. There's quite a difference in the two, right? A job or a career is not what really matters the most in our lives, but it does give us several clues about what really does matter in our lives. It's just another piece of the puzzle of life. Solomon, here in these verses that I read, give us three reasons why work cannot supply us with the ultimate joy in life. Allow me to share those three things I find here in the scriptures. Concerning our work, first of all, work cannot satisfy your soul. Listen to what he says again in verse 7. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. Solomon says, work is about food for your stomach, the physical, if you will, and not for the soul. Oh, that we could learn that. Oh, that we could hear that and take that to our heart. Our work is not food for our soul. We work to get money, don't we? And in that exchange, we buy food, we buy clothing, and shelter. That's the trade from money to goods. In reality, work does not pay in the realm or in the currency of heart fulfillment. Simply, there's no exchange rate, beloved, between the material and the spiritual. We all know people who have no time for God. They're too busy in their professions, their careers, their educations, their jobs, whatever they do. They just have no time for God whatsoever. Everything else in the world just crowds out the time for God, which is the most important factor in your life. They have no time for church. Too busy. Can't just work God into my schedule. God doesn't seem to just appear on anybody's agenda sometimes. Listen, work cannot satisfy your soul. I want you to understand that. Look at those people who are consumed with their work. It consumes all their time, consumes all their talent, and after a while, it consumes the actual life, doesn't it? Look at those persons, let's say later on in life. Look at those persons, let's say maybe 20 years down the road. Look at them. Their love for work has consumed them, time and life completed. The cycle goes on till that person ends up like Solomon writes here, old, cynical, angry, and tired, wondering in bewilderness somewhere in my life, where did things go wrong? Where did I make a wrong turn somewhere in my life? Now, beloved, we all work hard sometimes, don't we? We do. But don't miss Solomon's words of caution here. We must learn to trade those minutes and those hours and those days. Trade them very, very carefully. Because, you see, work does not satisfy your soul. It only repays you in the realm which does not satisfy the human hunger of your soul. Because you see, God is the ultimate workman. Let me share with you. Turn in your Bibles over to the New Testament, to the book of Ephesians. Look at chapter 2 in Ephesians. And I want you to look at verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, Paul writes and he says, for we are his workmanship. God worked to make us. God created us. We're the result of God's working. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, we're designed by God for work. The first created human beings, Adam and Eve, He created them, placed them in a perfect environment, but He put them to work, didn't He? They were to maintain and till the garden. You see, God created us a very complex, impressive individual. But we're made for a specific purpose. The reason, listen to me, many times we don't work things out properly because we have no deep-seated roots of power in us. We're only empty shells without the power of the Holy Spirit of God working in us and through us. Men, we have to be expressly careful here because men are designed to find their meaning in their work. But listen to me, you better have the right voltage or power source to service what we do. Work cannot satisfy your soul. A second thing I find here in these scriptures is that wisdom cannot satisfy your heart. Listen to what Solomon says here in verse number 8. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? The wisest man in the world, listen to me carefully, has no advantage whatsoever over a fool. When he stands before God and faces God one day, and he's absent of his Holy Spirit living in him, he's no more advantaged than a fool when he stands before God, because we all stand before God equal, don't we? Sure we do. Well, when you stand before God one day, all of us, God's not going to ask us about our college degrees. He's not going to ask us if we had master's degrees, doctorate degrees, postgraduate degrees. God's not going to ask us about our SAT scores, our GPAs. He's not even going to ask us about our bank accounts or our bank balances. All that God's going to want from us when we stand before Him is, what about the heart? The heart is the matter. Well, what about your heart? Wisdom cannot satisfy the heart. Now, work requires strength, and work requires our minds, doesn't it? But let me share something with you. I've been guilty of this before, and I'm going to be honest with you up front, and I bet many of you have too. Sometimes you leave your job, you leave your career, you go where, do whatever, and if you're on vacation even, sometimes you start thinking about things at work. You start thinking about maybe some changes that need to be made or some new project you're involved in or something concerning work. And you mull around your heart and life even when you're on vacation. And you find out soon that this work takes a piece out of your heart. And as we become emotionally involved, then we're sold out to work from 9 to 5 and even beyond that. Work begins to require our very souls. Now, I'm not against work. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not against education. I spent a lot of years formally going to education, trying to gain some tools to help me be a better pastor, a better Christian, a better leader. But listen, we need to be clear. Those who think that wisdom can solve all matters are playing the fool. Romans says in 1:22, those who profess to be wise, Paul says, they became fools. Agreed, a good education is very desirable. You ought to get as much education as you can. Good thing to have. Good tool to face life with. Very desirable. But listen, a good education is not as important as a good heart. The heart is the matter. A heart that knows God, has the power of the Holy Spirit of God living within us, energizing us, giving us the power, giving us the resources to carry on life. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Your mind can't replace your heart, beloved, listen. And work cannot replace your heart. Can't satisfy your soul. Can't satisfy your heart. But I see a third thing here I want to share with you in this passage also. Our wishes or our dreams cannot satisfy reality. You have to live in the real world. Look what he said in verse 9. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of the spirit. Here Solomon declares, he kind of compares, if you will, living in the real world over living in a dream world or a fantasy world. In the book of Proverbs, it's clear that there's nothing wrong with having wishes, nothing wrong with having dreams, nothing wrong with having goals in your lives or visions. But if you live in a fantasy world, you're living in a world where these things are likely not ever going to come to reality in your life. How many times over the years I've heard things like this? Well, Pastor, we're going to take the kids to Disney World when? We're going to start saving for their education when? We're going to plan for retirement when? The when is always tied to something big around the corner. Is it not? It certainly is. I'm going to start saving for education. Good. So many people talk about the future and seem to never get around to enjoying the present. Hear me well. Listen carefully. If your career, if your job, if your whatever you want to call it, is the most important factor in your life, if you're waiting for that next promotion, if you're waiting for that next raise, or that next assignment, or that next transfer somewhere, then you're living in a wishful, wandering desire that Solomon talks about here in verse 9. Keep your wishes. Nothing wrong with having wishes, dreams, goals, values, vision. Nothing wrong with those things. But listen, enjoy life along the way. This is a day the Lord has made. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Shouldn't we? There's a phrase throughout the book of Ecclesiastes Solomon rewrites and reiterates over and over and over and over. And he says this, between now and the time you go to heaven, enjoy what God has given you. Don't let your work consume you and take up all your time. If you're caught up in just making money, pursuing a career, and you don't have time to enjoy your life, what happens? Let me give you an example. Let me give you just a little piece out of my life. That'd be okay. I don't mind sharing part of my soul with you today. Years ago, when I was in Bible college back in the 70s, somewhere between 72 and 75, I was going to school full-time Monday through Friday, coming home on Friday afternoon, attempting to pastor a church on the weekend, right back to school on Monday. And one weekend, I'd come home from school, and I was in my office at home, scrambling about a message for the following day on Sunday. And my youngest son, Philip, came in, and he saw I was at my desk working. He looked up, and he said, "Dad, could you come out and play with me?" "Oh, you can't. You're too busy." God pierced my heart as if you'd stuck a knife in my breast. You know what I did? I closed up my Bible. I got up from my desk, and I went out in my yard, and I played with my son. What are you saying, Pastor? Here's what I'm saying. What's wrong with taking a surprise vacation day from work and spend it with your family? Just another day at work, maybe another day to get behind at work. Just another day. Just another opportunity to not punch a clock. Just another day, just another dollar. Take that same scenario 20 years down the road and let me ask you a question. Which is more important? Those precious memories that you spend with your family over making a dollar another day. I'll tell you what the difference is. One builds relationships, the other just builds dollars. That's all. Money. Well, just another day. Just another dollar. Which is more important in the end? Relationships or your career? So many people today are caught up in their careers, their jobs, their acquisitions, whatever it is, that they seem to sing the song, God, let me alone. But some of us have seen the reality in that, and we keep Jesus Christ in our heart and our relationship right with Him and right with our fellow men and right with our families, and we sing the song, Lord Jesus, lead me along. I want to ask you, and this is a short message, but I want to close it with this. Which song are you singing? 20 years from now, where are you going to be with your family? Where are you going to be with your career? I told you earlier that careers and money only pays in the realm of the material. And the material can never supply the need spiritually. Oh, that we could learn that, beloved. The worth of our work. Work is important. But it's not the most important thing in your life. Understand that. Get that. Put that in your heart. Put that in your soul. You can get another job, but you can't get another son or daughter. Can't get another family. Children, listen, you can't get another mom and dad. You only get two of those. That's for the lifetime. Relationships are so vitally important over work, careers, jobs, education even, and I'm all for education, you know I am, in its rightful place. But it can never fulfill the need of your heart and your soul. Only Jesus, the song says, can satisfy my soul. How true that song is. Maybe today. Maybe you've come and maybe some of this has said something to you about how you're doing, how you're living, what you're doing, what you're pursuing, where you're headed concerning yourself and your family and your career. Maybe you need to make some changes before that 20 years has already gone. Maybe it's already gone by. But it's not too late to make some changes now to make sure that your work doesn't try to take the place of your soul. Make sure whatever wisdom you may have doesn't take the place of your heart. Make sure of these days. Trade these days, beloved, again. Trade these minutes, trade these hours, trade these days, trade these months, and trade these years, Solomon would say, very, very carefully. Solomon, the wisest man in the world his day, had everything in this world could offer. Everything, he had it all. He came down to the end of his life, tired, old, cynical, angry young man. But God let him write some valuable words for us who were to follow even thousands of years beyond his day. Could we hear, could we heed his word and not end up in our lives as old, cynical, tired, worn out, angry people at life? If you keep Jesus at the center of your heart, in your soul, and spend time with your family, you can give them all things in this world, but the most important thing you're going to ever give them is two things. Number one, yourself, and number two, your love. You can't put a price on that. Don't let anything or anyone crowd out those wonderful things in your life. Maybe today you've already done that. Say, well, preacher, I'm already there. What are you talking about? Listen, you don't have to stay there. The Lord Jesus forgives of sin. Acknowledge it. Repent of it. Turn from it. Ask the Lord Jesus to help you. And He will. He helped me. I've never forgot that little lesson my son taught me. There's lessons in life that you just haven't forget. There are other lessons you have and you never forget them. Can't put an importance on your family. Can't put an importance on your heart and your soul. Don't let the devil rob you of that precious privilege in Christ Jesus. We're going to extend an invitation this morning. Maybe there's someone who needs to respond here in our congregation. Maybe you're viewing us through Facebook and you need to respond as well. We want to give you the same opportunity we have here. If you're at home, if you're viewing and there's something in your life that needs correcting, needs changing, needs eliminating, needs adding, whatever it may be, the Lord's already shown you. He'll show you what it is and He'll show you how to deal with it. If you'd be honest and come to Him, He'll make all things right. Because as Chris sang, He is the Lord of all my days. Amen? Let's stand together. Sister, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. The Lord's here to help us, to enable us, to empower us to be and to do what it is He's created us to be and to do. If you'd respond to Him, if you're at home viewing today, if you'd respond right where you are, the same invitation is to you as it is to us. Sister Pam, come lead us.
Thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church this morning. So what is the value of your work? Is it all in vain? That was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. You can find out more about Sharon Baptist on their website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. That's S-H-A-R-O-N. Or get directions to come join them in person or watch live stream. They live stream their services 10:45 Sunday morning, 7 p.m. Wednesday nights, Sharon Baptist Concord.
Each of us needs to understand a great truth. What does Jesus really want from me? I'll tell you, I figured it out. He wants all that you have and all that you are placed at His disposal. And He will take it and He'll bless it and multiply it and use it. And make not only you a blessing, but whatever you have that you give to Him. As we've just sung, I surrender all. I promise you, if you do that, you'll never be sorry that you did. If you're viewing today, if you'll surrender your all to Jesus, one day in eternity, we'll stand together around the throne and we can all sing together, hallelujah. Hallelujah to Jesus our Lord.
If you need help, Sharon Baptist Concord. God bless you.